Welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. I'm Tom.
And I'm Paulie. We interview world authorities and experts in health and wellness optimization, psychology and spirituality.
And we don't mind chewing the fat either, just the two of us.
If you feel like being part of a casual yarn about self-awareness and growth, pull up a chair because the coffee's still hot.
We'll see you on the inside.
We love talking about what drives us as individuals to be better, to be better versions of ourselves and inspire others to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So instead of sitting in a coffee shop, we figured why not press record and do the same thing? And And we were talking about what the topic of today's discussion would be. And my thoughts around it are, you know, part of the very real motivation to start this project with you, Tommy, is that, you know, we love each other. We get a lot of energy from each other. And there's a filter underneath that I wanted to make sure that we turn up on a regular basis to be able to drive each other to get the most and the best out of each other, to that add that extra layer. And that's that accountability, support, and community that is so important in everybody's life, whether you're a busy mother or father, whether, you know, anyone that's trying to move forward in their life, the power of tribe, the power of accountability is so it's ingrained in our DNA.
Yeah. It, you know, man, there's a big push in the individualistic Western world, you know, to glorify picking ourselves up by our bootstraps. But I cannot think of any heroic individual tale where support wasn't absolutely fundamental to that individual's success. I just don't think someone can live in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden become a billionaire without at the very least networking, which by definition already is akin to seeking social support, you know. And there's a reason why social support works. There's a reason why cliches are cliches. You are who you spend the most time with. It's a reason why Alcoholics Anonymous ensures that people have mentors and guides and people that are walking the path with you, because you're just not able to do these things yourself. And we need to get away as far as we can, run away from that toxic narrative that suggests that we are supposed to do these things by ourselves, especially when you're trying to implement drastic change.
100%. And it's a typically masculine kind of trait to express, you know, no, she'll be right. I got this, you know, this diminishment of vulnerability, this lack of being able to open yourself up to those around you. But as I mentioned before, it's so ingrained in who we are as a people. It's how we've been able to differentiate ourselves from the rest of the animal kingdom, to be able to be parts of tribes, to be able to grow together as a community. And yet, you know, you mentioned being successful in business. You know, you may be able to do it on your own, but will you be happy, you know?
Right.
That's another really, really poignant question to ask yourself. And there, you know, we can get into the nuances of all of this, but ultimately there are so many layers to this, but the happiness factor is such a big thing. Social engagement and interaction, to be able to grow together and support yourself and put yourself with people that are looking to achieve a common goal is a really, really powerful driving force to be able to generate you getting that goal individually.
So exactly right. Yeah. I mean, when we celebrate, what are we doing? We're sharing the joy with other people, you know, and that's exciting. You know, for anyone out there that doesn't believe us when we say that it's in our DNA, it is, you know. Mirror neurons discovered in the 20th century, you know, they're excited and disinhibited when we see people doing things and therefore mimic them. And we learn by doing, you know. Children are sponges, you know, this firsthand, my friend,
yes.
You know, and these things are in us. So rather than, being upset at the fact that you can't, you know, do it yourself or whatever, whatever your narrative is, optimize your DNA and surround yourself with other people that share a common vision and goal. And the best thing about, there's lots of negatives about the common world, the contemporary world. But social media gives you access to people that are killing it at whatever you're interested in. So consume their content and become obsessed with interacting with them digitally, and you'll become who you want to be, which is really cool.
100%. And just a note on social media, you know, you're right. There's a lot of people that, you know, they cast a wide net around social media, and they say that it is the devil, and you become a drone. And you know what? You can very easily step into that. But if you have a sense of awareness and a filtration system for you to be able to say, right, I am going to create intention behind using this, but I'm going to censor what comes into my world, because if you don't, you know, if you're not doing the thinking for you, other people will be doing the thinking for you. Yep. So to be able to use these tools to be able to develop your mind, to be able to develop your heart space and your community, can be a wonderful experience and a really, really rich experience, but it requires intention, and you can't go in blindly into it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the same with anything. You know, a hammer can build a house or it can smash a skull. You know, your intention is the most important thing. The backlash to that would be, yes, but a hammer doesn't get you addicted. And I respect that, because I'm also addicted to my phone. But then that just requires more intention and more tribe. So, you know, I could come at you again.
and that's once again, you know, like you opening yourself up and being in this space where other people around you are going on the same journey as you. You can be vulnerable with them. You can you can step into that that vulnerability and allow them to guide you through what their experiences have been, and then you can take that next step, that next level, and you can access people that have been through what you are currently going through and what you aspire to get to.
Yes.
So you can use them as resources to be able to take that next step, that next leap. And that's the teachers amongst us that can really, really teach in a humble and a way that is just going to spread love, really.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think so as a segue, I was having a really interesting conversation with a client yesterday. It wasn't really psychotherapy. It was more like leadership coaching. He came to the clinic initially with you know, all sorts of symptoms and dysfunction, as we all do. That's why I went to a therapist in my early 20s, and then now he's in a much better place. And we were doing leadership coaching because he's a manager, and one of the struggles that he is currently having is this kind of dichotomy between helping people with effective change and also being empathetic. And we seem to, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I think the word accountability has a degree of baggage where we feel like if we're being accountable for other people, we have to call them out on their shit or be mean or say, hey, you're not doing as good a job as you can do. And one of the discussions that we had, which we both kind of agreed on last night, was this notion that you have to be empathetic. So when you're being accountable, so let's just say you and I are being accountable together, which we are, to ensure that we catch up once a week and produce content that we believe will be valuable for other people, mm-hmm. specifically to the demographic that we're trying to help with our businesses. We want to be empathetic for, so from my perspective, I want to be empathetic for who Paul is now, but also for who Paul could be. So I need to ensure that I'm balancing that with, I get that you couldn't come today, but I also needed a text or whatever it was. I mean, you know, to put mine, I was late to the show today. So, so you're like, whatever, but then you're calling me as well. So we want to kind of balance that with, I also really believe that you can become this person that you've told me that you want me to help you with. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So from that kind of leadership perspective, accountability people struggle with because it's like, oh my God, I'm going to be called out. And it's, you know, I'm constantly told I'm a bad person. It's like, in the beginning, you said that you are really excited to achieve this vision and become this ideal person. We need to help you love who you are becoming. So there is change associated with that, and it's tricky, but it's important.
But I love the, I really love the angle that you're looking at that transformation in, because I know I have been caught in the past feeling like I'm in the naughty corner if I'm not following through with what I've told either myself or those around me, that if I haven't actually engaged or followed through in what this is, that can be a really intimidating experience. And what happens, you can sometimes step into defensive mode, and you can start to explain your actions away. But what I gleaned from what you were saying there is let's re-engage in stepping into the love of transforming yourself into this. Yep. You're not in trouble with anybody, you know? You're actually doing this to become a person that you want to be more in love with, or you're more in love with the process of doing this. So let's get looking forward to it. Let's really immerse ourselves into it. And I see this happening in partnerships, in business partnerships, or in partnerships at home, or parenting. It's a very, very common thing to happen. And sometimes it's really liberating to be able to say, I fell short on this one. I'm going to do better because I want to do better, and I want to give to yourself, myself, but I also want to give to you and those around me.
Yeah, totally, man. It is hard, and I have respect for it too. So what happens as we develop is, the front part of our brain that can analyze and take on different perspectives isn't really formed, and an ego takes time to develop, a sense of identity takes time to develop, but we have years and years and years of experiences, some good, some not so good, that the ego tries to understand. And if I can't take on your perspective, it's self-conscious by definition. So if it's a 7-year-old, as an 8-year-old, or whatever it is, if Paul hits me in the face, I'm a bad person straight away, or I must have done something wrong. And a limiting belief ensues because I can't take on your perspective. Maybe Paul had a bad day. That part of my brain just isn't developed yet. So as you become an adult and you're stuck and you're finding someone, so my partner and I work with people-pleasing, anxious women. And you see women who are stuck, and you would see with busy parents as well, and there's obviously nuance and context with all this, but people who are holding on to an idea of who they need to be, which is no longer sufficient for the reality that life has given them, which is really challenging. And often what we have to do as coaches is we have to start to explore these narratives that are holding them back now, because they're no longer serving who they want to become. And that's really, really challenging. And I do have a lot of respect and sympathy for, and empathy actually, because that was me, of course, in my early 20s. OCD diagnosis over here. Change is really hard because we become addicted to our suffering, because it's who would we be without it? Who's my new identity going to be? But if you just take that first step, well, now life has potential for you. So
that's right. And there's ways that you could take that step with support and awareness and the ability, like hugs, nice warm hugs around you to be able to do it, where you don't feel alone. Because when you're stepping out of an identity and then into a new one, I would imagine for a period of time there, you could very easily feel like you don't have an identity.
Yep.
I know this from personal experience. In the 40 years I've had on this planet, I've had various different identities that I feel, I've been seen as or in and around. Whether people even think about that of me at all is completely a different story.
Yes.
But, I do go through these identity models in my mind. There was Paul Gleeser, the student, and then athlete footballer, and then musician, and then personal trainer. And then, there's all these different steps and identity shifts that take place. But ultimately, when you're moving into something, like you've said in the past, about that, like you've said in the past, when you are shifting from one thing into another, I lost my train of thought now.
It's what happens. This is the modern world.
Yeah. You can. I'll turn my phone off there. So when you're stepping into a new identity, it can be an incredibly daunting experience because you can feel naked and bare.
Yes. It's so true. The analogy that I really love with it is you're standing on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and the island is starting to sink, and you're going, oh shit, this island is starting to sink. I have to go somewhere else. This can't work anymore. Mm. But it had all those banana trees, and look at my home. I built that home, and
yeah,
oh, it's like, yeah, dude, but it's sinking. It's like, yeah, but the banana tree is. So you eventually finally go, okay, I can't be on this island anymore. So you start to swim out into the Pacific Ocean, and where's the next island? You don't know. You also don't know which way to swim. You know, that old Seneca quote, if a man knows not which way he sails, no wind is favorable. So it's, where do I swim to? So you are, you know, there's potential for you to sink and drown.
Mm.
But then the next question is, you realize that you can no longer be who you were. Now the daunting question is, who do you want to become? As soon as you figure out what you want, or perhaps due to limiting belief systems, what you want to want, now we have an aim, and that's when we can start finding that next island for you. But 100%, man, I couldn't agree with you more. That time in between standing on two islands is so existentially troubling because I don't know who I am anymore. It's really terrifying. But I do believe, and I'll finish with this, is that you find yourself by looking forwards.
100%. And I think we discussed that briefly in our last podcast. And I agree so much in that. And when you don't truly believe that with every inch and fiber of your being, it's so important to have those around you.
Yes.
To be able to reinforce your journey and, you know, the journey that you are taking and stepping into that new identity looking forwards. You know, it would be so wonderful to say that everybody can do this on their own, you know, without having resources around them, and just say, you know, I want to be that person, you know, in the future, as in 3, 2, 1, go now. Yes. But that's not the reality that we find ourselves in more often than not. It's about having people around you. It's about remaining accountable in the most positive way possible. You know, it's like, what an exciting journey. What a wonderful, cherished experience that you can go on, and somebody can actually make sure or give you a greater chance of getting towards that destination.
Yes, exactly. How cool is that? It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. And especially when you do the, you know, so we have an Unshakable project, you have, you know, the Hero program, these things, the reason why there's a group element associated with this is because what often happens when people are starting to change is, oh, it's easy for you, Tom, you know, or easy for you, Paul, you guys, you know, you've got this advantage or you didn't have to deal with this. Well, this is why tribe is so important, because especially when you're trying to affect change, is because if you're surrounded by a whole bunch of other people who are also just taking that first step, they are feeling exactly what you're feeling at the same time, you know, and they will go through all of the pains and difficulties and challenges. I went through it, you know, but I also remember the same feeling of seeing. So I remember my first therapist appointment in 2014, and we started. He was doing the whole CBT thing, which I'm, you know, it's good. I think there's also more stuff out there as well.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a really good therapist, I should say, not just to denigrate him, but he started talking to me about meditation, and I remember him saying what can tend to happen as you start to meditate is you start to you see your thoughts further and further away, so they're no longer who you are, they're just a part of you, like a foot or you know, almost, obviously I'm paraphrasing. But I remember hearing that. He's just told me what the view from the top of Mount Everest looks like. And I haven't even reached base camp yet. I'm ages away and I don't even believe that kind of view is possible. And I remember saying, well, how long have you been meditating for? And he said, like 5 years or something. I'm like, so it's like, you need that vision. Of course you need that vision. Otherwise, why climb Mount Everest? Mm-hmm. But doing it with other people, I mean, this might be a long bow to draw as a pretty broad analogy, but you never see someone climbing Mount Everest by themselves, you know?
Totally.
Why not? It's like, of course you need to be safe, but having someone walk with you is important.
But there's a safety in numbers, and there's a safety in being able to achieve any goal together. And, you know, that whole base camp Everest analogy, it's like, well, let's reverse engineer that back into daily, you know, landmarks that we can achieve. You know, we're not going to be looking at the summit from day one. In fact, it's been proven through scientific studies that if you constantly are looking at that end goal, your chances of achieving that goal are vastly diminished versus being able to chunk back and reverse engineer what your little signposts are along the way. Nice. You know, elite athletes, they don't look at, you know, they don't visualize the end mark in front of them. They visualize, you know, the butt of the guy in front of them and just stay in that kind of focused state, because that visual is going to keep them moving forwards. And then once they get in front of that, the butt of that person in front of them, then they set another goal in front of them, you know. Yes. And it's really, really important to be able to have these kinds of these landmark steps along the way.
Totally. It's so true, isn't it? You need both, and sometimes you need to balance both. I think about jujitsu. I think about how wonderful it would be to have a black belt. You know, but I also think that the black belt is impossible unless I begin to just enjoy going to jujitsu. You know?
Sure.
There's a wonderful book called Mastery. Not Robert Greene.
Ah, okay.
But there's some other George. I can't remember his last name, but. He was studying successful people, and he was looking at a lot of NBA players, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, cool. and so forth. And he wrote a quote in that book, which I loved. And he said, practice isn't something that you do, it's something that you are.
Mm.
So I think there's another element to, you know, to all of this, which is also finding what kind of goals really are important to you. You know, because and you can imagine a scenario of, you know, 20 something kid as at uni studying law because his parents are both lawyers, and mm-hmm. his love is, you know, their love subconsciously is conditional based upon his success in the legal world. And then you start thinking, well, God, I suck at uni. I'm so shit. You know, I'm never passing it. You know, it's really stressful to me all the time. And then all he thinks about is doing backflips because he's a gymnast. He just can't stop, and he's obsessed, and he does gymnastics for 6 hours every day mm-hmm. when he's not at uni. And I think that's another important element here as well, is like, when it comes to changing, and maybe it's fitness goals, you know, let's really bring it back here, because I can live in the world of analogies. I'm sorry.
Yep. No, all good. Yeah.
If you're doing a fitness program and you really struggle to adhere to the demands of the program, what it is, you know, helping busy parents as an example.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe you haven't found the exercise that you enjoy. You mm-hmm. know, my mum cannot stand being in a gym, mm-hmm. loves to dance, dances all the time. She's really fit and healthy.
It's the solution, you know, like in the Hero program, that's the first thing I ask people. It's like, what do you enjoy doing? You know, like, stepping into this world of, you know, achieving goals, we always think that there's only subconsciously, we feel like there's only one way to be able to achieve a certain goal. And through the commodification of the world that we live in right now, we feel like it's only achieved through a 45-minute session of whatever they're called, all these different classes where they're manufactured into these 45-minute morsels of goodness, and then people sit on their ass for 14 hours for the rest of the day, and And the reality is you're going to be just as likely to die early if you're still sitting on your ass for that period of time. It's important to be able to be paraphrasing the quote that you just used. You need to be exercise.
Yes.
You don't do exercise. You need to be exercise. You need to be a vessel that expresses exercise in everything they do. Yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily need to be absolutely everything you do. But if you're on a walk, if you're taking a meeting and all you require is your voice, well, God invented something called, earbuds, right, where you can go for a walk, you can get access to vitamin D, you can start moving, getting oxygen and blood pumping through your lungs and all the vital organs in your body, and you can do all of this whilst being productive in a working environment. And I guarantee you, you're going to start getting those creative juices flowing even more as well, and you're going to be giving to your circadian rhythm as well, so you're going to sleep better that night. And this is all by simply getting up off your ass instead of sitting in front of a computer and moving around the block for half an hour, as opposed to sitting in what we classically see a working environment to be. And that can take place in lieu of, going to what we classically see as a working environment, or a training environment like a gym. You can go, you can train outdoors, you can be in touch with nature, and all of a sudden these magical things start to happen because you are exercise, you're not doing exercise.
Yeah, that's the thing, man, isn't it? It's identity shifts, you know, that there's a great example that Tony Robbins talks about, and he says, you know, you've got two smokers, both trying to quit. Have you heard this?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And I don't think our people have either.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I do repeat myself. He's got two examples of two smokers who are both trying to quit. Someone comes up to each of them and says, "Hey, did you want a cigarette?" Person A says, "Nah, no thanks, I'm trying to quit." Person B says, "No thanks, I'm not a smoker."
Mm.
Perfect example. If you're still identified, you know, as someone who, you have heard it, yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then we can take that, you know, even if you're someone who's trying to become a little bit more, a little fitter, you know, or a little bit less people pleasing, you know, it's hard. It's a slow journey, you know, but all of this is very similar. You know, we need to get women to a place where they can start to see that not people pleasing is possible. And for us, it's very much a state of, you know, I used this with a client very recently. You might have a situation where you're always buying friends, food or whatever it is. We're not asking you to say no straight away. That's the top of Mount Everest. We're not asking you to say no, it's your turn. Maybe you can say, "I'm sorry, I forgot my wallet today." Just start off small. You know, maybe it's one push up. You know, there's a great Atomic Habits is a really good book, and he was talking about one of his readers, what's his name, dude? James Clear, that's right. Yeah, he was talking about one of his readers who lost like just an insane amount of weight, you know, and he said that he would show up to the gym every day for a month for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
do like three exercises. Remember this?
Yeah, I remember. I've digested that book pretty heavily. Yeah.
It's just brilliant, though. I just love that. It's like, well, you can't lose a lot of weight. Yeah, but I'm trying to create sustainable change.
He's stepped into an identity of someone that he doesn't want to be a person that is trying to get fit. Right. He is a person that expects to wake up every day and step into that gym. Yes. He's becoming an athlete, yes, right? He's not trying to do the expression of exercise. He is now an athlete. He is the person. He is the identity. And he did that by expressing himself through bite-sized actions that he knew he was going to be able to achieve, through five-minute excursions to the gym, because he knew that was going to be achievable regardless of what was going on around him. Walk up, go for a walk on the treadmill, whatever it is, and then he'd come back. But by rote learning that, by expressing and reinforcing that through his environment, all of a sudden, he is now an athlete.
Yes, exactly. And what were the results? Didn't he lose like 100 pounds or something like that, or just something insane?
I'm not sure 100% of the outcome, but I want to actually find a it's in and around this quote, in and around what you're talking about. So I'm please.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, you know, that's the thing. I think as human beings, and this is what happens because the mind is very good at self-regulation and in an effort to achieve what's called homeostasis, which is basically just a fancy word for balance. But when you're in a very severe amount of pain, you're going to see a very, very clear, greener grass, right? So what that means for us on a practical basis is that we try to just fix all our problems in a day. This is what we need. Sometimes it's with escapism. I'm so in pain, I need porn, food, shopping, sex, whatever it is. Insert, you know, addiction here that you know, is pleasurable.
Yep.
The same thing can happen though when you start to make change and you go, okay, well, this is what I need. I need to go to the gym. You know, now I'm speaking from personal experience because I was in a very rigid way of thinking, and I would, I'd eat a whole heap of food because I wanted that pleasure. I'd feel so ashamed about myself that I would train all day, 9 to 5 all day. And I was, the pain that I experienced the next day, I remember feeling like I wasn't enough unless sitting on the toilet was excruciating for me, my glutes and my legs, and, you know, and OCD was lots of different variations for me as well. But that thing of like, I have to fix all my problems in one day. So I mean, the struggle for me, if I wanted to start a fitness journey to go to the gym for 5 minutes every day, because I know that long-term it's about habit change, would be so hard, but that is how you do it.
100%. And the quote which I found is, it's not about the result, it's about the person you become achieving that result.
Yeah.
And we look so far, we often look so focused on what the actual result is. But if we focus on who we are becoming, achieving that, the result takes care of itself.
Totally. And dude, I think, you know, to come full circle to some, we've spoken at length about identity change, how identities change, what to expect on that path. It's a lot, and that's why tribe is so important. You know, hey man, are you feeling, yeah dude, I feel the same. And you have to have that. If you are courageous enough to set an ideal for yourself, the expectation that you're going to feel is immense straight away. And well done on being brave enough to set that. You want to climb Mount Everest? Whoa, okay, awesome. Hey, go shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
But having a team with you that can support you, a coach, a mentor, a friend, whatever it is, someone to rely on and go, I just can't do this leg. Can you carry my bag? Sure, of course. You know, that's how you're going to get there. I really don't think it's possible by yourself. Look, if someone responds to this and goes, hey, it's possible, I'm like, I'm sorry. But I couldn't do it. I wasn't strong will enough.
but you're right. The point is, it's easier and it's more natural to do it with those around you.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Stepping out of an identity and stepping into something new it's not just foreign. It's scary as all hell because it's unfamiliar. You know, you're stepping into this new way of being. Well, everything you do, your subconscious is going to be like, hang on, this is totally unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And also, life has worked really, really well, or life has worked the way I see it. I've survived. Right.
I didn't die
and I've survived and it's really, really familiar. Why the hell would I make life hard for myself stepping into this new hardship, you know? Like, I'm going to go back, and especially if it's not validated immediately, then I'm going to definitely go back because that was more simple that way.
Yes.
So if you've got people around you to be able to say, hang on, you're doing this for a reason and we've got your back.
Yeah.
And you've got teachers around you to be able to show you the way because they've been able to take steps that are very, very similar in their sense, then, you know, that's going to be a proven method that has worked time and time again.
100%, man. I think that what you said is so correct. You know, when you have people around you that are doing the same thing, they're the ones who say, you can do this. It's hard. I'm feeling it too. And you need that.
Yeah.
The teachers and the mentors, they're the ones saying, hey, you can do it. And I'm telling you, life is better.
Yeah.
So it's not just whenever you get that thought of, oh, I mean, I survived, it wasn't that bad, you know, coming from the clinic, oh, you know, he didn't hit me that much, or, you know, I didn't A, B, and C. When you have someone going, oh my God, this is really hard, I can do it though, you need that. And then you go, hey, this is way better over here. You know, mm-hmm. It's way, way, way better. Being a butterfly is better than a caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
What, get out of the chrysalis. You can do it.
Spot on. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a really, really concise kind of sum up of roundabout way of what we've been discussing here. And that's all around community guidance and accountability. And I think if you're struggling to take those steps to be able to move towards the identity shift that you want to be able to, you know, step into, reach out to Tommy, reach out to me, and we'd love to have a conversation with you, whether that's pointing you in the right direction of, you know, or giving you a resource or having a conversation about how to create your life in a way that you want to be. Yes. In the future, we'd love to be able to help.
Absolutely. Hey, for accountability purposes, we're excited to adhere to a weekly podcast session.
100%.
Paul, I love you, mate. You're a great friend and yeah, love our conversations.
Yeah, same to you, Tommy. And I'm really excited for this project, bud.
100%.